The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hey everyone, welcome to Sex Out Loud. This is just the second episode of season 3, and I am really glad to be back on the air. It's been kind of a rough week out there for a lot of people. There has been some loss in my life and in the lives of many people that I love. And so I just want to say, I want you guys to hang in there. And in the words of Colton, who said this to me this morning, unprompted, because he's just very wise, he said, Tristan, you have to be where you are. And so I encourage all of you to be wherever you are right now and take a little break and hear this show. So I also want to let you know that if you want to see me live and in person, I am going to be at International Ms. Leather in San Jose, California, April 9th to the 12th. That's next week. In fact, I'm a judge for the International Ms. Leather contest, which is a great honor. And I am looking forward to seeing so many amazing people. The lineup of stars and workshop presenters and performers is pretty staggering. And they're doing a porn film fest this year. I mean, it's going to be really good. But I want you to know there's no registration at the door. This is something not everyone knows, so we're trying to get the word out. There is no registration at the door. You have to register online, and that registration closes Monday, April 6th. That's this coming Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. You can go to imsl.org to register, and I hope I see some of you there. I also want to tell you that we're live today, so if you want to call and talk to me, talk to my guest, or just simply talk, you can give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio, and I guess on Facebook too. Are we still doing Facebook? Okay. So I'm really excited about today's guest because this is someone whose life and work overlaps a great deal with my own and overlaps with my social circle most definitely. And yet, from my memory, we have only met once. And we've not exactly had a lot of time to just chit-chat. So I'm kind of excited to spend this whole hour with her, getting to know her better, and then in the process, having all of you out there in listener land getting to know her. And who is she? Well, she is Stoya. Stoya is an award-winning adult film performer and writer. She starred in her first film in 2007 and went on to win the Best U.S. Newcomer Award from Erotic Line, Best New Starlet from AVN, Starlet of the Year from XBiz, as well as the New Starlet Award from XRCO. She's appeared in over 50 explicit films, and her writing about sex has been featured in Vice, The New York Times, Esquire, and Refinery 29, among other places. Stoya is involved with the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee, which pushes for better education and working conditions for adult performers. And this month, no, last month, in March, she launched a brand new site with Caden Cross, trenchcoatx.com, which features a new model for buying porn. We're going to talk about that new site and a lot more. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Stoya.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I want to go back to your time at the beginning of your career. I read somewhere that you prepared for your life as a porn star by watching Pirates and Fashionistas.
Yeah.
Is that true?
There was this website a long time ago called razordolls.com, and they had nude photo sets of me, and they decided that they wanted to make a porn DVD, and so they brought in Jack the Zipper to direct it, and they asked me if I would come have sex with another woman, and I was like, well, okay. I mean, I've seen her pictures, like, have sex with, yeah, sure, wait, hold on camera. What is porn? I should find out what porn is. And so I went to TLA Video, and I don't know if they still do, but they used to have these brick and mortar stores in Philadelphia that were like video rental places, and they had a lot of art house stuff. And also in the back room, they had porn. And so I went into the back room behind like the creepy curtain, and I was like, this is amazing. And I got Pirates and Fashionistas and Stunt Girl, which was...
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear about that. Okay. This is like a trifecta of just critical works of porn of a certain era, I think.
I think so. But I was just like wandering around grabbing things based on the box covers. So I took them home, and my roommates and I lived in South Philly and had a lot of roommates. We sat on the couch and had this porn marathon. And we got to, like, we watched Pirates, and I adore June. I was in Pirates 2. I think he's an amazing business person, but Pirates is fucking cheesy. We're watching it and we're like, the acting's bad. Okay, whatever. Just moving along. And then we got to the Fashionistas, and that's, it was John Stagliano's passion project, basically. And it has Belladonna in her prime and Rocco Siffredi in his prime and Manuel Ferrara when he was first starting out. And that movie, still, there are things in it where I look at what the performers do with their bodies and think, I don't think I could do that with my body. And in spite of that, I went out and shot the porn for Razor Dolls, and it went well.
And so, ironically, you know, you watch this movie Pirates, which is one of the biggest and best-selling movies and highest budgeted movies in the adult industry of all time. And then you signed an exclusive contract with the production company that put that out, which is Digital Playground. And you signed a contract kind of early in your career, or earlier than many. And so you didn't get to work really for a lot of companies besides Digital Playground. Is that right?
Right. I had only done a couple of scenes for Razor Dolls and then went into contract with Digital. And that was, again, a different era where the contract performer was a common thing, and signing a contract meant you had a much better chance at career longevity. Mm-hmm. And Digital Playground specifically liked to get performers very early in their careers. I think partially that just made it easier to keep control of all of the sort of material floating around of them and make sure that they were presented in a certain light, but also partially because then you don't know any better and think that, say, $62,000 a year gross is fair for having them as your sole employer and also doing all of the promotional work, which is capitalism at work there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone ever talks about like how much their contracts are worth. So I appreciate that honesty. But what was it like to work with like one company and one company only for so long?
Well, it was, part of the benefits for me of signing a contract were I could do things like say, you know, I'm not going to just be booked in a scene. Like I need to know who the performers are first. And then they said, oh, well, you can give us a yes list. And so like working with Robbie and having a list of performers and then having him as the director who was like stuck with me for years and years, take the initiative to be like, Stoya, meet this performer, meet that performer. Do you think you'd be willing to work with I think you'd like them. I think you guys would do a good scene together. That was definitely beneficial, as was having Adela Curry, because one of the things with a contract is the company is invested in your success. So you have, or you had resources like a publicist. So having Adela teach me how to navigate dealing with the media and build my career in a way that wasn't really possible for performers to do on their own until the rise of social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Digital Playground did the best in the media game that anyone could do. I mean, they had really extraordinary mainstream exposure, and they really had their shit together on that front.
Definitely.
Okay, we have to take a break. Can you believe that?
What? Oh my God, that was so
I know. I was so fast, and I didn't even ramble on this time at the beginning, and it's still so fast. Okay. So we're going to take a break. We've barely broken out of 2008, and we have a lot of ground to cover. So I want everyone to stay where they are, because that is like the tip of the iceberg. That's like the beginning of when Stoya came to be known to all of us. And there is so much more to know. And remember, we're live. How many times do you get a chance to call and talk to Stoya? Not very many. Okay, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Everyone's been posting questions on Twitter, which is great. Keep those going. I'm going to try to get to all of them at Sex Out Loud Radio. So think of some questions. Pick up the phone, or just in general, stick around. More with Stoya when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We've got to fast forward a bit because I'm talking today with award-winning adult performer and writer Stoya. And if we don't get out of 2008, we're never going to get anywhere. So let's fast forward all the way till today, which is that just in the last month, you've launched this brand new website, which is called TrenchcoatX.com. And it's been heralded as a new model for online porn. Tell me more about it.
It's not actually a new model. It's the pay-per-scene format, which Clips for Sale has been doing forever. I believe Kink.com has been doing for quite some time. And iTunes has been doing with narrative television for years. What we're doing that's different is hand-selecting the content, releasing our own exclusive content, and doing our best to treat every sex scene individually and build, for instance, we don't have the traditional clickable boxes of like hairy, MILF, so on and so forth. So each scene requires that it be watched and have an actual short description written of it. So you have to capture what's going on. And one of the interesting things moving forward is definitely going to be, as the amount of video that we have grows, how to organize it. But I'm really excited to do that because I think one of the things that is bad with pornography and also with dating sites and apps is that we categorize people into aesthetic and identity boxes, and we sort them that way. And that's not how people are, and that's not how sex is, and that's not how pornography should be. So it's a big question of how to do it, but I'm so excited to figure out that question.
Well, that's a fascinating thing because, you know, we do have this amazing technology on our hands. And I feel like in some ways, everyone set up these categories in, 1998. And basically said, these will be the categories everyone will sort their movies into. And then everyone did it and no one said, hey, should we revisit that?
Well, now we're saying we should revisit that.
Yeah.
Basically for, years, Caden and I have sat around and run our slightly overdrawn mouths on set about how things should be run and how things should happen and how porn should be made. And then we decided it was time to put on our grown-up pants and put our money quite literally where our mouths were.
Yes.
And do it, because it's porn used to be on the forefront of technology, and now it isn't. And a lot of things could use some serious revisiting.
Well, and it seems like you've kind of got something for everyone, because even with the small selection that you have up, you've only been up for a month. It seems like there are some vignettes. There's a really funny parody movie about Wall Street starring, I think, a former Wall Streeter who is in the porn movie. Is that right?
Cavane. She was an intern on Wall Street. She decided she wanted to make a porno. Caden secured product placement funding from arrangementfinders.com. Wink. And then got Veronica's first four scenes.
Nice. And then there's also some porn that is available in other places, but you may not be able to find it. I mean, kind of in the sea of porn. That's why your site is curated. I know that Dana Vespoli's Girl/Boy, which is a really fantastic movie that's pretty mainstream. She put it out for Evil Angel, but a bunch of her stuff is on the site. And a bunch of stuff you've directed, Caden's directed, and you and Caden are also, you know, some of the primary players in it, although there are a bunch of other people too.
Yes, there are lots of people. We do seem to be really fixated on Jizzly. We have a lot of Jizzly in addition to a lot of ourselves. But I really can't think of a better performer to be kind of obsessed with.
Agreed. Totally agreed. You know, I would have Jizz on this show, but Jizz is not into doing radio, and I've begged them, and they're like, it's not really my medium. So one of these days I will corner Jizz, but for now, no Jizz.
I can get that. Like with writing, as I've gotten better at writing and been able to work with editors or have other writers that are friends informally edit my work, now the contrast between how smart I sound in an essay and how smart or not smart I sound in radio or like an in-person interview where I'm just talking and they're recording it.
Right. It's all in your head and in Jizz's head too, just so you know, because you're both very articulate and very smart. But I get it. I get it. Okay, so you also recently blogged about some pretty strong opinions about tube sites and torrent sites. And yes. I'm hoping, I mean, it is my wish that like I could educate the world about what's going on right now on the internet, because I feel like there's an entire generation of people who I meet when I do college lectures who are like, porn is free. It's always been free. And I want to like say, okay, hold the phone. That's actually not true. And here's what's going on. So I wonder if you'll give me the kind of short version of what the difference between a tube site and a torrent site is, and why one or both of them are problematic.
Yes. So, that piece actually came out of a talk that I gave at Barnard. And when I opened it up to questions, someone asked me about how to ethically consume pornography. And I tried to give them some quick hints, like, you know, the performers you see discussing ethics, the scenes that they're proud of and promoting, probably a good hint that they are aware of ethics and were treated well throughout the whole process. But actually, the fastest tip that I can give you is stay away from the tube sites, because the tube sites are largely owned by a company that was called Manwin and is now called MindGeek. And they've also achieved what Slate called a monopoly as far as the production companies within heterotypical pornography goes. So it's as though Sony had built Napster and then used it to wipe out their competition. The torrents, on the other hand, are, you know, at least clicking around the torrents isn't indirectly putting money in the pockets of Manwin MindGeek.
Yeah, I mean, the torrent sites is file sharing, and the tube sites is people are making money off those through advertising and clicks and stuff, but it's really yes. one centralized company that's doing it.
And it's ideally, ideally under capitalism, which is already tricky, then people would pay what they could for media that they like and want to consume and want to see more of. But when you're looking at reality, piracy is going to happen. It is going to happen because the person who wants to consume pornography lives behind the Great Firewall in China and can only access things by using, you know, Tor to get to a torrent site and then acquiring it that way. It's going to happen because people don't have disposable income, or it's going to happen because people just refuse to pay for what is essentially zeros and ones. And so looking at it from that perspective, to me, if you're going to pirate, because I know it is going to happen, then at least do it in a way that isn't aiding this monster corporation that's eating my industry and community, because porn's both.
Right. And do you, I mean, talking about making, you know, getting people to pay for porn, I mean, is one of your plans that you're going to perform only exclusively for Trenchcoat X? Like, will that be the only place we can see you having sex?
Not necessarily, but because of the tube sites, in order to protect my own interests as a producer and director or the owner of videos that I appear in, it's very important that I be able to get as much content taken off of tube sites with DMCA notices as possible. I have publicly said and intend to follow this that I will not go after torrents. I think copyright trolling is its own mess of horrible, but as far as the tube sites go, I do need to be able to defend the content that we have on Trenchcoat X. So working for other people then requires that in some way I have the right to send a DMCA, which means that unless something like crazy, amazing, insane happens, like Stephen Klein is going to direct an explicit video for Givenchy and wants me in it, then, you know, of course I would just do that, but that's also never going to happen. But when it comes to working for other producers of adult content, I need to have some sort of ownership so that I can make sure that when I see myself on a tube site and it's something that's been made post 2014, that I can get it taken down.
And explain to people what a DCMA is, just for people who may not know the lingo.
DMCA is, it's Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It's basically, it's this law that gives you the ability as someone who created media to like
copyright it.
Yeah. Or to defend the copyright of it. To say, yes, like, hey, you actually, I own that and you can't use that without paying me to make yourself money. Like, that's not cool, man. Except it is way more complicated than that. And I'm not the most educated on copyright issues. I just know that when I see something that I made and I own on a tube site being leveraged by Manwin MindGeek to make themselves money, what I send is a DMCA.
Right. No, and I think this is an important point that everyone needs to know, which is that there's an assumption that when you go on these tube sites, what you're looking at is quote unquote amateur porn or porn produced for that tube site. And the truth is, throughout these tube sites, there is just blatant copyright infringement. There's a ton of pirated content, and they're not following the basic rules.
And it's the thing that really personally burns me about it is that they're using it for their own profit.
Right, they haven't created some kind of open source porno land, right, where everyone can access everything.
That's where, to me, it's unfair, and that's why torrents are a different sort of thing. There's no malicious attempt to squeeze money out of other people's work and then use that to chomp, chomp, eat the whole, yeah.
But if all you do is watch porn on torrent sites, I'm here to tell you people that then we're all going to go out of business. Because if you could just pay for like a portion of the porn that you watch, you could have more porn.
Yeah.
From the people that you like. So, I mean, like, that's really the message here.
Literally, you're voting with your dollars when you're buying it through like appropriate channels. You're saying like, I'm putting this many dollars towards this. And then the business people look at the numbers and go, this did really well. This is what we need to make more of.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've got to take another break. I want to hear about this upcoming Queer Porn Film Festival, and we're going to dig into probably something that no one has ever asked Stoya about in her entire career. Feminism. Okay, everyone. Don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud with Stoya when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with adult performer and prolific writer Stoya. And before we get into the F word, I want to hear about the premiere of your directorial debut. The film is called Graphic Depictions, and it's going to be shown for the very first time in public at the Queer Porn Film Festival in Brooklyn on April 19th. So tell me more.
Courtney Treble, who is an amazing queer director, contacted me a couple of weeks ago and said they were doing this queer porn film festival in Brooklyn. And I said, that's amazing. What can I do to help? And they asked if they could have the first scene of Graphic Depictions, which involves Gisley with Lily LeBeau, and they used a dental dam. They asked if they could screen that. And I said, of course, do I get to come? And they said, I get to come. And so I'm very excited to go. And I believe we're going to have a panel about ethics in pornography, which is very exciting to me because, you know, my career has been largely spent in mainstream porn. And I know queer porn and feminist porn have a lot of focus on ethics. And so I'm 100% certain that they're going to have ideas about ethics that have never occurred to me or never crossed my path. And I might have one or two that come from working with the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee and spending so much time in straight porn. I don't know. Who knows? But I think it'll be a really interesting conversation.
Well, I got a lot of questions for you, and one of them pertains to this festival. So we're gonna break into that. Which it came by email from Eric. Thanks, Eric, for writing to us. And he says, after last week's show highlighting the Feminist Porn Awards, and this week's is talking about the Queer Porn Festival in Brooklyn, it's clear that quality niche porn is a growing industry. What effect do you feel that the growth of independent or niche porn has had or is having on mainstream porn? Is there crossover among the talent? And because of it, are mainstream producers becoming more feminist and queer friendly? What do you think, Stoya?
Oh, boy. There's definitely crossover among the talent. There's only one pool of performers, even though we might talk about porn as heterotypical porn or gay porn or queer porn or whatever. We're all sort of in one very large fluid sharing group. When we're talking about porn becoming feminist, like mainstream porn becoming feminist, that is really fucking complicated. I think that the simple answer, which is yes, porn overall is becoming more female dominated as far as behind the scenes, I think that does in a way erase the existence of directors like Mason and directors like, oh God, I want to say Candida Royale and Erica Lust and you, Tristan, you've been directing things for what, 10 years?
It depends on where you trace it back to, but yes.
There have been a number of women making very notable work as directors for a very long time. And there have been women actually running their own companies for a very long time. Also, when we're talking about sort of the performers of the current era, most have websites or clips for sale stores, and they produce their own content, which makes them directors and producers and sometimes editors. And we sort of the way that the mainstream news talks about porn is kind of this like Highlander sort of situation where it's like, we found this one porn star. First it was Jenna Jameson, and then it was Sasha Gray. And now I think that's beginning to broaden a little bit.
Although it might be you. I mean, we'll talk about that in a moment. You might be the next one and only unicorn.
But I don't want to be the one and only unicorn. I want the rest of the world to have to grapple with the fact that actually there are a lot of us, and where I might be exciting for certain reasons, like Kaden is exciting for other reasons. Bell Knox is exciting for still more. Ella Darling is creating virtual reality porn. Like, that's fucking exciting too. It's just like there's a plurality, a multitude of plurality. And we should all be special unicorns.
Okay, so we got into it and now we have to get into it. Feminism. Let's talk about it. I want to give you just two things that you've said about feminism, at least in print. From an interview in The All, you said, my career in porn is in no way a feminist act. That's my job. I like my job, but I'm not doing anything to contribute to the furtherment of the feminist cause by showing up, being made up and styled to look like a very conventionally attractive woman, and then having sex on camera. There's nothing feminist about that. Then recently you were on HuffPost Live and you were talking about complex roles for women in porn. And you said, well, you know, porn revolves around women. Women are the stars. They're the ones that are the focus of these films. So often the roles are quite juicy or meaty or complex, and maybe even a little more than Hollywood roles for women. And of course, that turned into some crazy headline, like porn star Stoya says adult film is feminist compared to Hollywood movies, which isn't what you said.
No.
But when I read your stuff about feminism, I get this sense of deep ambivalence about feminism from you, and also maybe not knowing where your work fits into it.
Well, there's... porn, to me, looks like one of the most intersectional things in the entire world. So it does get very complicated. If we're talking about my career performing in pornography, especially based on my entire body of work to date, then fuck no, that's not feminist any more than my working as a waitress at one point in my life was feminist, or, a lawyer who does corporate law showing up and doing her lawyer things is feminist. Like it's not done with a feminist intent. However, when we're talking about, one, being on Huffington Post Live, where you go in knowing that if you don't give them a soundbite that makes a snazzy headline, then they'll just pick something And also talking about the comparative depth of roles given to men in pornography and women in pornography. Women's roles are more complex. However, let's not forget that we're talking about pornography, where the plot takes up 8 minutes and the sex takes up the rest of the 2 hours. So it is still a very superficial sketch sort of medium. We rely a lot on caricatures, like sketch comedy does, because that's what you do when you have to convey a lot of what's going on in a very short period of time. I don't think that the complexity of roles given to women in pornography is regularly more complex than the complexity of roles given to women in Hollywood. But when we're talking about the relative complexity to men, or like who has the most complex character in a piece of work, it's going to be the woman much more frequently in pornography that has women in it. So accepting gay porn, it's going to be the woman much more frequently than it is in a Hollywood film. Feminism is fucking complicated, and porn is fucking complicated, and we talk about porn like it's a monolith, and I think we also talk about feminism like it's a monolith. And so there's a large amount of cognitive dissonance that I'm quite aware of, but I also just, I would prefer to leave a trail of things said in public over the course of many years that sometimes don't add up if you're trying to put them next to each other as though they were said in the same week about the same subject or the same like precise topic, than to never say anything and keep my mouth shut and, gosh, I don't know, take my shoes off and be pregnant in the kitchen.
Okay. So... Okay, so I want to dig into a little bit of that. My first question would be, do you feel like this project of Trenchcoat X, which is owned and run and funded by women, is a feminist project?
No. It's a peopleist project, and I'm pretty sure that I'm rejecting calling Trenchcoat X feminist because of some sort of assumption, major assumptions in the world that I take as fact, or that I think most people take as fact, like the idea of porn for women. It's not porn for women, because I think porn for women is patronizing. It implies that women all have the same sexual tastes, or that our sexual tastes don't cover some of the same territory that men's sexual tastes do. And it also implies that men's sexual tastes are all the same. And that's not, you know, people are people. Also, I know, especially working in heterotypical porn, and I'm not going to sit around and try to add up like percentages of how many women compared to how many men I've dated or fucked or whatever, but leaning more towards heterosexual, it's easy to slip into the binary, but we need to stop doing that. We need to accept with the language that we describe people and the language that we describe sex, that we're packaging as media on video and distributing, that we need to make room for the fact that there are people in the world who aren't on the gender binary. And so like kind of peopleist doesn't fit either. Can we just call it porn? Can we just talk about porn that me and Caden like?
Yes, I totally think that's valid. Porn that you and Caden like and curate is totally valid. Yes. But I'm asking the questions I think people want to know, because I think that, you know, people constantly seem to engage you in this conversation. And So I wanted to just get your take on it. I mean, do you think that you will ever create a movie and say, this is feminist porn? Or, look, I did my feminist porn movie. It's over here.
Well, I made graphic depictions. There are 5 episodes in it. And I showed the entirety of it to a good friend of mine. Her name's Molly Crabapple. She did the artwork for the final scene. And after it was over, she said, you know, I love how it just, at the end of each scene, the camera focuses on the faces of the women. And then when you see the wide shot again, the men are gone. Like, they were just there for the women's pleasure. It's like, oh, I think I accidentally let some feminist sensibilities slip in there. But what even is a feminist porn? Like, if it's a movie where women's desire is treated as equal with men's, well then, like, fuck, man, that's the bare minimum. We can do better than that. And I think I would probably have to, really like dive into the world of feminist porn and do a lot of studying of it to then make a thing that is feminist porn. But also, why would I specifically do that when instead Kane and I could just cherry pick what we think are the most interesting examples of feminist porn and license them and put them on Trenchcoat, and then we can each just continue doing what we do.
Very good point. Very good point. Okay, we got to take another break. Coming up, we are going to take your questions. You have been flooding Twitter with them, and some of them are really thoughtful, and some of them aren't. So we're going to start at the top with the thoughtful ones. Stay with us. More with Stoya when we come back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. During the break, I was talking with my guest, Stoya, who said we should have devoted the whole hour to feminism. And so maybe she needs to come back because there is obviously a lot to talk about. But I want to get to your questions because I love your questions and I love you listeners. And I'm going to start with a pretty specific one. I really love specificity in all things. And this is such a specific question and I want to hear your answer to it. So this comes from Elle on Twitter and she says, what would you tell men about wanting their partners to learn to deep throat? What would you tell women who think they're lesser lovers for not being able to or not wanting to deep throat?
All right. To people with penises, who want their partners to shove it all the way in their throat, I would say if they puke on your balls, you basically asked for it. And to women, you're not a lesser lover. There's pretty regularly in the world a thing that happens between two sexual partners or three sexual partners or whatever, where certain desires on one end don't match up with the limitations, be they psychological or physical or just not something the other partner's interested in doing. And that doesn't make either party bad or lesser or anything like that. It's just sort of an unfortunate side effect of the fact that our sexual partners and lovers are living, breathing human beings with desires and tastes of their own.
It's perfect. It's a perfect answer, because I think we have to return to this notion of the spectrum of sexuality, and this, and we can't put things, you know, with stars attached to them or at one end of the spectrum as cooler or better, and deep throating kind of be in that category as like deep throating is the ultimate in oral sex. It may be for some people and not for other people. So that's my two cents.
I've not seen names here, but I've heard from many a male performer complaints about how female performers insist on like jamming their dick into their mouth and then like shaking their head around, and it's just sort of all teeth. And yes, it does look cool on camera, but apparently it's not very fun for the guy. Just throwing that out there.
And that made me think of for some reason, my dog, when she takes a soft toy and shakes it to try to shake it to death. So that was not a good image, or not a sexy image for me at all. So thanks for startling me in that way, keeping me on my toes. Okay. This question comes from Jamie on Twitter. Very relevant to our talk. What do you hope to see as more women take control in making pornography?
I hope to see more plurality of sex being shown and depictions of sex being shown and all that. And I also hope to see teamwork continue, because making porn is definitely a team sport, as is making movies, but also specifically with porn, performing in it is very much a group activity. And right now, like it's sort of easy to be like, oh, Caden and I have partnered on this thing, and like Ella Darling is doing her virtual reality stuff, and that's not competing with us at all, and we're not competing with her at all. And Cindy Gallup has Make Love Not Porn, and again, not competing at all. And look at us, just all happily forward press opportunities and tips and like bits of knowledge to each other. Isn't that great and wonderful? But I know that human nature is to be competitive. And I know that as more women continue to take things into their own hands, we will start to overlap quite a bit. And I hope we can still be team.
That's a good message for feminism in general, because I think we do, as minorities of various sorts, get kind of pitted against each other. And capitalism likes to pretend that there is one pie and there's only a limited number of pieces. And I just think that's bullshit. When a woman succeeds in porn in some way, it makes room and space for more women to succeed in porn. That's just a fact. And if it wasn't, like, I wouldn't have a career. And so I agree with you.
I can recite the legacy of female performers and businesswomen in pornography whose backs my career is built on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got to just do a quick answer, because I want to get one more question in from Lamar on Twitter. How has your improv training positively influenced your day-to-day life?
Oh, Jesus. It's made me so much better at interviews, which is not a normal day-to-day life, but it is my day-to-day life.
Right. Good. Okay, good answer. Okay, Thank you so much, Stoya, for spending part of your Friday with us. I really appreciate it. And you've got to come back so we can talk more.
Thank you. And yes, I would love to.
Stoya is an award-winning adult film performer and writer. Find her newest venture at trenchcoatx.com. And while you're there, check out some of the very reasonably priced clips. If you pay her, she'll make more. Find her on Tumblr and Twitter at Stoya. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. Remember, we currently have space available for new sponsors and advertisers. So if you're interested, email me at tristan@puckerup.com. Thanks to everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it and please, pretty please, review it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Magnus Sullivan, the screenwriter and producer of the critically acclaimed adult film Marriage 2.0. God, it's all porn all the time here. Hope you're not getting bored. Until then, hit me up on Facebook if you must, but more on Twitter, where I am more regularly, at Sex Out Loud Radio. And, you know, the usual. Talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.